Hi, everyone. This is Pam, and you're listening to a new episode of the podcast, Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. Today, as always, I'm excited to have another woman on the show who's going to share parts of her amazing story. So I'd like to say hello to Sarah. Hey, Sarah, happy to have you on the show today.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you for having me on your podcast. It's such an honor for me to be here today and get to share a bit of my story and just hopefully get to encourage others along the way.
Well, I have every confidence that you'll offer a very inspiring story. So to get us officially started, would you introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy.
Yes. So my name is Sarah Ayala. I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. And I work as a Montessori teacher. I work with infants and with toddlers, and I've been working in Montessori for about two years now.
Okay, what got you interested in that field?
So I was working at a previous job. I was working at a at-home senior care, and this was back in 2020 during COVID times. So I was working there, and I was working 12-hour night shifts. Oh, and wow. it was just a lot, you know. And it was, I think, being up all night started to take a toll on my mental health. So I was just online, you know, and I was actually on YouTube just watching videos, and I saw some recommended videos on my feed, and they were Montessori. So I thought, I've heard of that term, but I didn't really know what that was. So I began to just watch them, and I was just like, wow, like right now I'm working with elderly people, but I think it would be nice, you know, if I were to work with the opposite side and work with young kids. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it all began. And I applied on the very first school that popped up on Indeed.
Okay.
I applied and I got hired within two weeks. So yeah, everything happened really fast. And
Wow. Well, you know, they say everything happens for a reason, right?
Yes.
So exactly. There must be a reason why you've made such a vast leap in population that you're working with, you know, going from working with elderly individuals to now very small children. What is the age range of the kids that you work with?
Yeah, so I currently work with infants that are ages 2 months to about 1 year old. So yeah, I mean, and then I also work occasionally with toddlers who are from 18 months to 36 months old.
Okay. Now, did you have to have any specific, you know, training or certification to be able to become a Montessori teacher?
I did have a little bit of Montessori knowledge before I started working there. But no, they didn't really have any major requirements. I just had to have a love and a willingness to just learn more. And I was able to also get a CPR certified too. And I actually now know how to communicate and sign. And sign the language. So yeah, I've been able to pick up on so many skills.
Super. And those are skills that obviously can transfer into other areas of your life down the road. Now, Sarah, for those that are not maybe well versed, what is special about Montessori schools or Montessori education? Like, what's the premise behind the learning model?
Yeah, so what Montessori education is, it just encourages children to explore the world around them. And it's through hands-on learning, through self-directed activity, and through collaborative play. Okay. So what you will see when you enter into a Montessori classroom, you know, is you'll see child-sized shelves, you know, where the child is able to reach into a piece of work, you know, that they would like to work with. We have age appropriate activities too that are tailored to their age and their needs. And yeah, I mean, we as the teachers, you know, we kind of just observe them. It's not like in a traditional school where the kids have to sit down in a desk and the teachers are just there, you know, instructing them on what to do next. But it's more of like we just observe, you know, just to make sure that no one's gonna get hurt or anything, and we're there, you know, if they need help on a certain work. Yeah, so I just really like Montessori because it teaches the children to be very independent from a very young age. It's fascinating for me to watch a 2 year old, you know, pick up their plate and their cup after they finish eating. And you know, I feel like society, you know, may see children as like weak, but it's so fascinating to see what these kids are actually capable of, and they're able to do more than what we think they can.
Oh, wow. That is fascinating. And
also, one thing I would like to add is that we as the teachers, you know, we help validate the children's emotions, you know, so if they're feeling upset, if they're feeling, you know, sad because let's say like a friend took their piece of work, right, that they had, you know, we try to kneel down to the child's level and just, you know, have that direct eye contact, you know, and just tell them like, I understand that you feel very upset, but that doesn't mean that we're gonna bite, you know, that doesn't mean that we're gonna have that sort of response. So yeah, I mean, I think that's also very important, you know, for them to know that it's okay to feel natural human emotions.
I like that, especially how you say that you kneel down and get on their level. So you're like making eye contact, and you called it validating their emotions. Well, how much more validating can it be than you actually, you know, talking with the child at their level, you know? So I can see where that encourages, you know, independent learning, you know. And thank you for that explanation, because I really wasn't sure that I fully understood what Montessori education was about. So thank you. But so what do? You said you worked with infants. So like, what do you really, I mean, what can you really do with like the infant level? Like you said, from like 2 months to 12 months?
Yes. Yeah. So what we do, so a day in the life of a infant Montessori teacher would be like, you know, we get to work and the kids, you know, they arrive to school, you know, at around 9, you know, that's when the school day officially begins. And what we do is the parent, you know, will write down what was the child's last feeding, what was the last nap, and we kind of base everything off of that in order to determine, you know, what their next nap or their next feeding will be at. So so the kids will either have their milk or take a nap, and then at around noon, we like to do this this activity called circle time, which is where we sit as a group, you know, and we sing songs, we read books, and you know, we're able to have that in interactive play. And then after that, the kids will dip. Depending what age the child is, because once they're over 6 months, they're able to eat food. So the older infants who can eat, you know, they will sit down at the table and eat, while the younger infants will just find different activities to work on.
Okay. Well, yeah, because I was like trying to figure out like, what can a 6 month old like really participate in, you know? But like that kind of makes more sense. You know, how many teachers are there, like besides you, how many other teachers?
Yeah, so besides me, we also have three other teachers too.
Okay, so do they know you stutter?
I believe so. Yeah, I think there are times, you know, where they have caught me getting tripped up over a word, but I think it's something that I don't think I've ever had a conversation with them about that. You know, it's something that hasn't really came up. I think because we're just so busy taking care of the kids. But I noticed that at work, I don't really stutter as much. I think it's because I don't need to have in-depth conversations, you know. I just get to share a little like update when the parents pick up their kids. So it's like I already know what I'm going to say. So I feel like I don't really stutter as much when I'm at work.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious if like you had like maybe disclosed, you know, to your colleagues, but it sounds like you've chosen not to because it's not been needed, perhaps.
Yes, and it's interesting how you say that, because I disclosed for the first time last week. So my boss had asked me how my vacation went, you know, because she knows that I went to Fort Lauderdale. But she was under the assumption that it was just a vacation. And then she noticed some pictures that were posted on Facebook, and she's like, wait a minute, it looks like you went to some sort of conference. And I'm like, yes, I went to a conference that's about the National Stuttering Association. And then I just began to explain to her what it was, and she actually was very encouraged, and she was very supportive of it. You know, she didn't know what that was, and she thought, oh
Oh,
wow, why didn't you tell me this? And I'm like, well, I mean, it never really came up, you know, so I never really thought about sharing that w with her. But I'm happy that I did. It kind of like removed this huge weight that I
wow.
felt, you know, of having to hide. So it felt nice.
Was that the first time that you've kind of like done that? Like in a workplace?
Yes.
Oh wow. Good.
First time,
Good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And you're saying that it kind of like felt good, right? Because like it was like a relief of a weight. I mean, is that sometimes like how you felt, like carrying your stuttering around can seem like carrying a weight around?
Yeah, and I think I've always felt that way, especially in the workplace, you know, because you have to carry yourself in a very professional way. So I've always somehow I managed to just hide it. But also, you know, just because a person stutters, that doesn't make them less professional. You know, it's
Exactly.
just the way that they communicate. So learning to see it through those eyes too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Good for you. And you mentioned having gone to Fort Lauderdale for the National Stuttering Association conference. I believe it was your first NSA conference. Am I correct?
Yes, it was my very first NSA conference.
And what did you think?
I did not, I mean, honestly, going into it, I didn't really know what to expect.
Okay.
I had never gone to any event regarding stuttering. You know, I had gone to my local NSA chapter meetings, you know, but nothing to the extent of the NSA conference. And it was just really like, it was really life ch ch changing, you know, just being in the same room with people that are like me. And I felt very safe. And I'm just like, wow, I'm finally home.
Oh, I love that. I love that phrase. Wow. Now you mentioned that you're involved with your local chapter of the NSA. So obviously you're referring to the Houston chapter, right?
Yes.
So is that where you heard about the conference?
Yes. So I actually, yeah, so I heard it also on the NSA website too, the stutter.org. I heard it on there too. And since I s started attending my NSA meetings in early February, so during that time is when I first heard about the NSA conference, and I knew, I'm like, okay, I have to sign up. You know, there's no way that I'm gonna miss out on this awesome opportunity, even though it was too early, you know, and I had just joined the NSA too. You know, I just didn't want to put it off and wait.
Yeah, what do you mean it was too early? What do you mean? Like you said you started attending your chapter meetings in like February, so it felt like it was too early for you to go to a con conference? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I think at first I kind of hesitated, you know, because I had just joined in early February. I thought, oh, well, there's going to be a conference in July, you know, so I thought maybe it might be too soon, you know, since I'm just getting involved in
Okay.
my stuttering journey, you know, and not ever getting help prior to that, you know. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, I think this is an opportunity that I wouldn't want to miss. And yes, it's all very new for me, and it can feel a bit scary, but yeah, I mean, I just really dove in, and I just signed up as soon as the openings, you know, were.
Wow. And it didn't disappoint, obviously. You use the phrase life-changing. So you said it was life-changing for you. Was it mostly because, as you said, like you met so many people and you felt like finally I'm home? Was that it, or were there particular moments or activities or workshops or something? Like, was there anything in particular that like really like, wow, like I didn't know that, or I didn't get that, or is there something that you learned about stuttering or about yourself that you were surprised to have learned?
Yes, I mean, one of the success sessions that I at attended, I believe it was with Sarah D'Agostino. She did a workshop about something about how to get your power back, or how to own your power back. And I just r recall, you know, just feeling very encouraged by that. You know, it was just like, wow, like I have no words to even put like how I felt. It was just very healing. And I'm like, wow, like this whole time I've been operating from a state of fear. You know, I've been hiding my whole life, you know, and just being very ashamed of how I talk, you know. And I feel like just some attending her session just kind of opened my eyes that no, like I can see this as a form of art, you know. Like, why continue to hide away and waste my whole life, you know, when I can just choose to like own it. And those were my thoughts. I mean, honestly, I think every session I was just in tears like the whole time. I'm just like, wow, this is just what I needed to hear.
This is wonderful. Because hopefully it'll be like, the continuation of a journey for you towards embracing your true self, embracing, your whole self, and, moving towards not hiding and any anymore. I certainly have a lot of experience with that. I also hid my stuttering for more than 35 years for similar reasons. I was ashamed, I was embarrassed. I believed some of the myths that were out there. I'm a little older than you are, Sarah, but there was myths about, if you stutter, you're less intelligent, and I was always afraid to like appear less competent, as compared to other people. So, I did the same thing too. Like I kept a real part of myself hidden for way too long. And then, now that I'm not doing that anymore, I feel freer, and lighter to be my true self. And it sounds like you are on your way to that as well.
Yes, and I've also seen after I came back from my first NSA conference, I've noticed that I'm starting to go out more. I've been socializing more
Oh,
than
great.
I've had in a very long time, and I've mainly been hanging out with my NSA chapter meeting people. And it's just been very nice, to go out and not feel like I have to stay home and hide, like not go
Right.
back to that way, that old pattern of me th thinking, and trying to learn how to like reprogram my mind. Because there are times, where I will go out now, and every now and then I'll have those old thoughts that will come up and will be like, oh, maybe it's best if you stay like at home, so nobody can hear you like talk, but I'm just like, no, like I'm young and I have so much to live for, it's like I don't want to hold back
There
and
you go.
waste any more time.
There you go. And you know what? It's not an overnight journey. Reaching that place where, you're comfortable with who you are, and you believe in your full self, and like full acceptance, it is not overnight, So don't try to like hold yourself to a standard of, oh, like I should be X, Y, and Z on my journey. No, it takes time, and for many people, it's a lifelong journey, because stuttering is so complex, as I'm sure you can agree. There's so much involved with stuttering. The actual physical stuttering, it's different for every person who stutters. The emotional complexity that we have with it, our feelings, and then our perceptions of how listeners either evaluate or judge us. I mean, those are complex things that, the 98 or 99% of the world that does not stutter very often probably does not realize that we think about these things. So, it can be a lifelong journey, but one well worth the destination. So, have you ever been involved in any therapy at all for speech?
So I had lived my whole life without re receiving speech therapy, and I actually this month I finally went to my first speech therapy session,
Okay.
and yeah, I mean, it was just awesome. Right now I'm practicing on certain breathing techniques, to be able to c control my s s stutter. And yeah, I feel like my goal in going to speech therapy isn't to fix it. It isn't to fix how I talk. It's just mainly to see it in a new perspective, and also just learning how to control it.
Gotcha. Was your attendance at the conference, did that influence your decision to try therapy at this point?
Yes, it did. Just being around so many speech pathologists too, I was just like, wow, like I kind of felt like, wow, I've been m missing out on so much. Like there are times, where I wish I would have joined the NSA much more sooner, but like you said, I believe that everything happens for a certain purpose, and I think everything happens at the right timing. You know, we may think that we're too early or we're too late, but honestly, I think everything is just happening the way that it should.
Perfect. Perfect. That's such a great that's such a great reflection on, everything happens for a reason and things unfold in a particular way when they're supposed to. So, Sarah, in kind of wind down m mode, because this conversation has just like gone so fast. Like it just seems like when two people who stutter get together and start talking, that like it seems like we could talk for hours. But I guess I'd kind of like to wind down with going back to what you said. You got the feeling, being at the conference and meeting so many other people who stutter, that and you use the phrase, I'm home. Would you say that that is like one of the important things that like other women who stutter, who maybe are just starting out on their journey, should maybe, take a look at, like the importance of meeting others who stutter and the importance of support?
Yes, I mean, I do think it's very important to surround yourself with this stuttering community, you know, as especially if you're a young woman, you know, who is kind of like at her wit's end with herself and she's tired of having to hide. But she's also like afraid to take that next leap, you know, because she's s stepping into the unknown. But I would just encourage anybody out there to just do it afraid, you know, just like, you know, do it. It's gonna feel very scary, you know, to step into unknown territory, but I promise you know, it's going to be really worth it, and you're going to learn so much that you d did not know, and it's just kind of going to make you fall in love with y yourself more, you know, and not feel ashamed by what other people have to say. I feel like so much of the time, you know, we live life based on what other people say about us. You know, we sometimes we un in intentionally allow other people's opinions to dictate us. And you know, if we could only just ignore all of that, you know, and just focus on trying to live life for us. And learning to fall in love with yourself more, and just accepting every part of you just as who you are. I think that's the most important thing. And just knowing that you're not alone, you're always gonna have your NSA family there with you, you know, during those hard times.
What a perfect way to wind down, fall in love with yourself again. I just love that. That is like the perfect words of wisdom from this conversation with you, Sarah. Thank you so much for being a guest today and being so open and vulnerable. Your story is surely going to inspire others.
Yes, thank you for giving me this opportunity to be here with you and just get to share more about my story. I really had a great conversation with you, and I feel like the time went by so fast. I'm just like, wow, we're already here.
Yes, it yes.
Crazy.
It went by really fast, as it always does. When stutterers are talking about stuttering. So again, thank you so much. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.